Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Woodward Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm here, Andy Capitos, James Cox. And I have been searching the globe for a band to find the perfect song for everyday use. Okay, so I've scoured through the whole internet, can't find it. So I found this band through a PR person. I don't know if I can say her name.
I think so.
Yeah, it's Shauna. Shauna's a very good friend of mine and yours too right now, right? And y'all have the best song in history, okay? I'm not sure. Okay, so can you just guess what that song may be?
I'm gonna assume it's Stress, just because that seems to be the one that everyone is like, oh my god, I love that song.
Right. Okay. So what am I to do? That is not the song that I'm thinking about.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Which one is it that I'm dying to know?
Okay, you know as much as I do. People Cannot Drive.
Oh, GTFO.
Yes. Oh, my God, dude. That is my favorite song. That'll be my dying song. Get the fuck out of the way of. Because a lot of people don't know how to drive here.
They really struggle. It's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
But if I could play, do I have permission to play some of that song for?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So there's one part of the song which I really, really like, and I just wanted to run it by you. Can you hear that? Can you hear the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I can't hear. Oh, can I hear?
Okay.
It?
Okay.
Let me see. Let me listen harder.
Right, I'll edit it for the people listening. But when you all say GTF, that is my favorite song ever made ever. By the way, this is Suzanne from the band Mag Dillon, everybody. So welcome to the show. I hope that was good for you, because that song is. Me and my friend were going to work today, and we were like, "What's wrong with all these people, man? They can't stand up." Left lane is to go to pass them, you know?
Yes.
And that song just, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I wrote that song too, and it was one of those ones where these are like literally things I will say when I'm driving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm
Yeah. I love you for that. Yeah. Yeah. Because, I see accidents all day long, you know, going to work, coming from work. It's horrendous, you know?
So. It is, and that's, you know, so it was funny because somebody heard it and they assumed that I was like the road rager and I was like talking, and I'm like, actually, no, what I'm really trying to get across to people is pay attention when you're on the road. Please understand that the left lane is for passing, because if the people in the left lane actually understand it's for passing, then you won't have so much road rage because the other people won't be so frustrated because the people in the left lane can then pass. Yeah. And then, just the whole, like, you know, a lot of people are on their phones, so they're sitting at the light, and the light will change, and then they're still sitting there, and I'm like, hey, hi.
I've actually seen people put makeup on the phone, and just they're just oblivious, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. So that song is, that's one of the ones that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too now.
That's one of the ones that's actually kind of grown legs and walked on its own, kind of like Stress did. So we've have a couple songs where they just kind of like, we didn't do a lot of advertising, and they just kind of like, that one has, I think, almost 200,000 streams, which is, you know, because we're a small independent band, so it's amazing. Like, we're just so grateful for that. But yeah, that's one of those ones where and it was one take. We were in the studio. I did one take, and we didn't even overdub. I mean, it was nothing. It was just, that was it. And it was me talking. I was like, why are you up in New York? You know, because it was funny. That was a fun one to do in the studio.
I take it you are very passionate about people getting the hell out of your way out on the road. One take is good, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm usually the one driving too with the trailer. Okay. So with the band, a lot of the times I'm the one driving, and we tour, like what we have toured in the past is like a Honda Pilot. Like when we go on tours, we've rented, you know, obviously bigger vehicles, but when we do like our little weekenders, I'm in a Honda Pilot, which is like a 6-cylinder SUV towing a trailer. And that's when it's like, oh, come on, guys.
it's wild, you know. Speaking of going toward with your trailer pulling back in back of you, what's the most positive thing about it, and what's the most negative thing about it? I know, like, one going from town to town in like your own car or bus, you know.
Oh, there's so much to touring. So, yeah. It's fun. It's really fun. It's long days, you know, because you get to the venue really early and you're there really late. But you get to meet the people who are listening to the songs. And that's like you. You know what I mean? Like getting to talk to you and hearing you say, oh, my God, like, I love GTFO. Like, that is my theme song. It's just great. Like, that response whenever we get to see people live. And we always talk to them at the merch table. And we have a really good time meeting people.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most fun about it. The hardest thing about it is sometimes when you have, like, those really late nights and then an early load in, and you only have like 6 hours to get from venue to venue, and then you're kind of driving all night, so you don't get a lot of sleep. So that's probably the hardest part, I think, is like getting from venue to venue with not a lot of time in between.
Yeah. That's another thing I love your band for is because you take time to talk to fans after the show as well as many because I've met like bands like Hailstorm and I think I don't want to say Fear Factor. I met so many bands after the shows, you know, going to the merch table, and I want to thank you for that because a lot of bands get bigger, and as they get bigger, they're like, nah, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know. But I do understand that they might have been like, getting them on and like, you know, I mean, just chase it. I don't know. It's like a two-sided sword, you know.
It is. So. It's hard because, you know, like there's been a couple shows where I wasn't able to spend as much time at the merch table. But I love being the one there because I love, you know, I'm a talker and I love people and I love the whole vibe and energy. Yeah. Sometimes when we've had our dog and our dog was sick,
yes,
that's when you will not see me at the merch table because I'm usually handling something with the dog. Like, because we have a disabled dog and we bring Fluffy because she's really, she's got a lot of things, like very particular things. So I just try to always make sure, you know, if we're doing like a one night or two night, I'll leave her. But if we're going for long periods, she comes left. And that's the only time you will not see me at the merch table. One time I actually had to leave the merch table and I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I gotta go to the
Right. Well, I don't, I guess, okay. So what is the dog's name again? I'm sorry.
Fluffy.
Fluffy.
No,
okay.
I didn't say her name. You didn't.
Okay.
She's an English bulldog, and she was born with her spinal cord's not formed. So she has to eat three times a day. She doesn't drink water because she had pneumonia when she was a baby. So she's got some fear there. And then she's a little now she's getting a little I think she's uncomfortable, so she's a little growly.
Yeah.
So she can be a little like if she feels something weird,
extra,
like
yeah.
So there's, you know, I don't like to put anyone else under the pressure of trying to have to handle her if they don't have to.
But I mean, she's pretty famous right now because she's on the stress cover, which I love her for that. You know, I love y'all for giving the who thought of that to put Fluffy on the cover of, I mean, did it just happen by random or was that?
No, that was random at all.
Okay.
So I have always, one of our first merch shirts we ever made was my Shih Tzu, because my Shih Tzu is the We Aren't Metal cover art. And one of our first shirts we ever made had anime on it, was my Shih Tzu. She passed on now, but she was only 4 pounds. And so I love dogs. I've always had dogs. And I wanted to make Fluffy be the album cover. And and Bruce loves the band Snot. So Bruce is very influenced by the band Snot. He loves the band Snot. And he's like, and I'm like, well, why don't we do an album cover where Fluffy has a tennis ball that says stress, because that's like a stress ball.
And
have her chew it.
Yeah. And I think that's like a snack cover also, right? They love us kind of the dog. Okay, yeah.
Dogs had the cover of the album, right? So that was like our little nod and our little homage, or like our little So that's why we did that. That was 100% we knew what we were doing.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you started the band in 2017 to 2019 or 2019?
So me and Bruce met and wrote our first song in 17.
17, okay.
And 17 is when we wrote our first song.
Okay.
And then the band had its first show March 15th, 2018. I mean, we were off to the races so fast. We were literally writing a song and finishing the first version of Delusional on Monday. And we played it live Thursday.
That's kind of quick, isn't it?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was so great. Like we had like a St. Patrick's Day show because we had like a party at our house. Like, it was insane what we did with that band. So me and Bruce do have. Can I answer this like the long answer?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm here for you.
Okay. So we had we each had our own bands, and we were supposed to do this show together. Like, Bruce's band was supposed to be doing this March 15th show, and our bands were supposed to play together on St. Patrick's Day, my band and his band, and we were each doing a set. Well, my band imploded, and then his band imploded, which left, and then Matt Dillon was supposed to do a set. So it was supposed to be the debut of Matt Dillon on St. Patrick's Day. We were only going to play like three songs, but then both of our bands imploded. So me and Bruce had to go and learn all these covers. Bruce had to learn all these covers to try to do that one set. And then we did our set. And then my friend Diamond jumped in and she played acoustic and opened the show. I mean, it was, but it was, and then me and then Matt Dillon took over the opening spot for that show that his band had had on that Thursday night, March 15, which is really fun because we have a show March 15 this year. And that's exciting because it's like our 7-year anniversary. We get to play a show on the actual day, which is strange.
Right.
So it's cool.
Speaking of covers, I want to thank you for covering Alanis Morissette's song.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, that was my sister. I think my sister and I really got together over Alanis Morissette because we've had different music, you know, experiences. And Alanis Morissette was like, we both loved her to death, you know. So yeah. I guess we were connected over Alanis Morissette. For you, why did that song gravitate you and you wanted to cover it?
So I love that whole album, Jagged Little Pill.
Yes.
I was cheated on when I was very young. You know what I mean? This was before I got married, but I was cheated on. And that was, you know, I had heard that song, I want to say, a couple of years after that whole thing happened. And I was like, wow, this is the best song I've ever heard in my life. And and so I started singing that song when I was in a cover band, you know, years and years ago. So that's why when we were looking to do a cover, I was like, can we please do You Oughta Know? And it took me 6 months to talk Bruce into doing that song. He didn't want to do it. He was like, how are we going to make this metal? I'm like, I believe in you. I know you can figure it out.
Well, technically, if I might cut you off for a minute, I'm so sorry about that. But
no, you
can mix anything metal, you know, anything. There's very few songs that you cannot make metal, but there's like 99.9% that you can. So
yeah.
if somebody says you can't do it, no, you did, no. You know, yeah.
Yeah, so we figured it out, and that's why, and I love that song, so that's why we played it. We play that one. We always play that song. Yeah. That's one of the ones we always play in our live shows.
Yeah, because I do love drummers, and I do love half-timing, and I think I've heard some half-timing in that cover song, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is Adam, that's your drummer?
Yes.
Okay.
He's amazing. He's so good.
Yeah, he's such a talented dude. Speaking of your band, I'm looking at the picture right now. It has Lucifer, Adam, you in the picture, and Les. Okay.
That's our old bass player.
Because I was like, I don't think. Well, I've looked at your newest video, which I can't recall what it is right now. I'm so sorry about that.
But, it was probably Back Through the Door.
Yes.
That's the one we just released last week.
Yes. And I'm like, that's not Les. That's somebody else.
That's Marcus. Marcus. He's been in the band like 2 years.
Okay. So, brand new guy.
Yes, he's been in for 2 years. Yep.
And I think he's...
Well, almost two. This summer, it'll be 2 years.
Okay, yeah. So, and I guess you'll love him like another brother. He's like perfect
for you. Oh, God,
we
love him.
Yeah.
So what's crazy is Marcus was almost in the band before Les got in the band. So we have known Marcus for... And he likes to go by the stage name Alexander, but I can never remember to call him that.
Right.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
Which is awful. But he was almost in the band, but so we've been friends with him for, you know, 8 years because he was like around us before the early versions of the band. So yeah. So it was what's really crazy is the fact that we ran into him somewhere and he came to our filming of the video for GTFO. He is in. If you watch that video, we didn't know Les was going to leave.
Okay.
Marcus gets in the car and Les gets out of the car. Like, it's bizarre. Like, it is completely...
Okay.
If you watch that GTFO video and you watch Les gets out of the car and then Marcus winds up in the car and then Les is running behind, like, with his guitar. Like, it was so weird the way that video happened like a month before the actual thing when Les left.
I guess that would be like a divine inner something, right? Because Liz got out of the door and marked. Yeah, that's very unique. That's very powerful too, you know?
It was, yeah, it's wild.
Right, yeah. Okay, so let's go back to where 2019 again. You said you're after joining Magdalen, you recorded that one song and you're like, boom, shot off to space, you know? I researched you and you started opening for Slab of Otep, Texas Hippie, on Earth, yep. 9 Point Red. Okay, so how soon after you like played did these bands reach out to you or did you like your band's playing here, we can open through y'all, you know, because that's basically how openers work, you know?
Yes. So a lot of times it's the venue. The venue would reach out to us. But then we did have, for a little while, we were working with Paul Crosby as our manager when we first started, who is the former drummer of Saliva. So it was a lot of times it was the venues and we were, you know, making a name for ourselves. And they said, yeah, you guys can open the show. Yeah, you guys can open the show. And then we got Blue Ridge Rock Festival, which was, that was when it was only, it's like its second year.
Right.
But it was amazing. We opened for Red Jumpsuit Apparatus in July of 2018 when the band was just like starting playing its first show in March. And in that, I think, man, was it that September we played Blue Ridge for the first time? I think it was. I think we played Blue Ridge for the first time that September and we opened for Texas Hippie that September as well.
Right.
So yeah, it was, we were just.
Yeah, it's like a rocket ship going off.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
All right, yeah. So do you have any like favorite bands that you love to open for, you know? Because I named some like really good bands, you know, because I saw O-Tip live and she was great. I saw 9 Point and she was great.
Oh, good.
Red, too great, you know. Were there any bands that you opened for that really stood out to you the most, you know?
Oh.
Or like, did you like look up to them and said, oh my God, just, you know, here's 9 Point, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. Saliva was a really big one because we opened for them a couple times. That was really huge. What was one of the, there's a lot, there's so many. You know, opening for Butcher Babies was kind of really cool for us when we opened for Butcher Babies. I think we opened for Stitched Up Heart too. That was really, really cool. There was a lot. There's been a lot. There's been so many. Like we went and we did two little runs, but two little tours with Head PE. So that was also absolutely amazing. We've gotten so lucky. I would say, of course, technically, when we did the Space Zebra show in 2020, not that we got to meet them, but like on the Space Zebra show, we were on the same day that Evanescence played at Louder Than Life.
Okay.
We weren't on the same stage. Right. We did not get to meet Amy Lee, but that was kind of incredible. Yeah, there was a lot of, and New Year's Day was that day, that same day
we New played Year's Louder Than Life. Such a good band.
God, I love them so much. Yeah.
So, okay, so instead of opening an upward band, who is your favorite concert as a teenager or, like, growing up until you formed your band? Who is your, like, favorite show ever that you saw growing up?
Oh,
I mean, I got a lot of good ones, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, what was my favorite show ever? So, this is hard.
Yeah.
Because I love Stevie Nicks. Yeah. And I have seen her 20 times. So I have seen either Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac 20 times because every time they come around, I go. So those are some of my favorite shows. But I would, so this wasn't as a teenager or growing up, but I would say one of my favorite shows that I ever attended was probably Lunatic Luau in 2015 when I got to see Hell Yeah and Hailstorm. And those are two of my favorite bands, and I got to see them on the same day in my hometown.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like super, super awesome.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's the Vinnie Paul, right? Vinnie Paul.
Yeah. And Chad Gray and
I wish. I wish I'd done that with her because we would have some badass songs now, you know.
Yep.
So take them too soon, you know. But but your band is okay. So you talk about addiction, bad relationships, which you just said, and bullying, you know. One of your songs is a song I think. Well, I'm pretty sure you wrote because, I mean, you dealt with it. It's called Delusional.
Yes.
And that's your battle with alcoholism?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Sobriety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you dive us deeper into, if you will, your alcoholism back then and what it looks like now and what that song, you know.
So that song is really about my journey through sobriety and learning what it's like to live life without drinking. Mm. And I don't drink. I don't touch anything. I don't do any drugs. I don't put any chemicals in my body. I guess caffeine's a chemical, so I put caffeine in my body.
Dude, coffee is like, if you open me up, coffee will spill out. You know, like I can't live without coffee. Every day I have to have it, you know? So yeah, but besides caffeine, yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it's mostly about like kind of, it's that battle within yourself that you go through when you realize, oh, this is a problem. Like this is a really big problem. And then that fight that you have with yourself where you're delusional, you're absolutely delulu because you don't see what is really happening until you see it. And that's what the whole song's about. That's kind of it.
Yeah, and I guess that when you write out your feelings about alcoholism, did it take some of that pain away that you experienced before? Because writing down your feelings like opens doors for, you know, instant stress relief, you know. Yeah,
it's incredible to me how healing writing is, and how making the music. And then letting that thing just go once it's written about and then letting that be the healing thing. One of the hardest songs is Rainbow. I don't know if you were going to ask me about that one. That's the one we wrote about our puppy that died. Mm-hmm. I had written a lot of that song a long time before that, and it wasn't about a dog. But when Tommy Boy died, Bruce used to play guitar to him, and it was always like the warm-up sounded like Rainbow, and I would always be like, oh my god, that sounds like that acoustic song that I wrote, but I'm like, that will never record, because I never thought in a million years we would ever record it. And then after Tommy Boy died, we were like, okay, we're gonna make this song, you know, about Tommy. And the first few times I've played it, and I don't know if I could ever sing that song and not cry, because we played that at for the first time at a Skoda in Michigan at Oscoda Rock Fest, and it was amazing, but we played it acoustic and like there was not a dry eye there. But it was an outdoor festival, and I had brought all the kids on stage, you know, to kind of, because it was such a mellow song, just to get them to be on stage. But it was like one of those, it's very healing, all the songs are, to get it out, especially the, you know, like Delusional, or even, you know, a song like Tears, you know, which is really about a divorce. And what was the other one that I, it's incredible to me how healing just all the music is for us when we write about it and then we just let it go.
Right. There was something I was going to ask you, which I never heard before, but I can't seem to find it now. You are not metal. You are, I'm totally spaced out. Hang on just a minute. Let me see here.
The song, We Aren't Metal?
Right. You're not metal genre. You're, hang on, I'll find it. I should have.
No, you're good.
I don't know, but I read y'all are very metal. You're not rock. You called like something I never heard of before, you know. And I wish I had it right here with me.
Was it pop metal? Did I say it was like pop metal?
No, I'll find it before you leave us.
We blend genres.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We cross genres, so we almost bring like a pop vibe.
Right, you're not really this genre, you're not really that, right, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of like sit a little bit like in metalcore, and we have a little bit, sometimes we'll have that like more of a rock vibe, and then sometimes we'll have that new metal vibe. So we kind of blend and cross like new metal with pop with just regular metalcore.
Yeah.
And hard rock.
Hard rock.
And you know what else? You know what I forgot we opened for Eva Under Fire here in Virginia Beach one time.
I don't think of
that was really cool.
Really?
I don't think that's written anywhere, and it should be, because that was really cool meeting Amanda. She's amazing. Like they're great. I love them.
I guess that would be one of your bucket lists. I mean, if you would have, you know, right?
Bucket lists.
As the meet, like everybody strives to have that, like one perfect show for our whole career. Would you say that would be it right now, or that sad show hasn't happened yet?
Oh yeah, my bucket list hasn't happened yet.
Okay. It will come. I guarantee you it will come. So, all right. So we have at least three more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. But I do want to just thank you so much for coming on the show today. Here's a fun one. And then we got three harder ones.
Okay?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, I told you it's going to be hard later on.
I know.
So here's a fun one, okay? If you could travel back in time and perform with any historical artist, who would it be? You know, like you could say Mozart, you know, any kind of historical musician, Chopin.
Okay. So this is a hard question.
Oh, I thought it was, okay.
No, because I mean, of course, what I think of is Prince.
Yes.
Okay, because Prince to me is amazing. That's one of the reasons why we covered Stand Back by Stevie Nicks.
Right.
Because he had actually a hand in writing that song with her. A lot of people don't know that because he didn't want to be credited. But yeah, I mean, Prince, the things I thought about when you said that, I was like, Prince, Pantera.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Those were two of the ones that like popped in my head. And then out of anybody like ever.
Yeah.
And then Janis Joplin, that was another one that popped in my head.
Janis Joplin.
Like, she's like the trailblazer, you know what I mean? Right. Like, she was one of the first, like, rocker, like, raspy, that I'm aware of anyway, that was just like, wow.
Right. Okay. Prince, yeah. I had a chance to go see Prince in Columbia, like, 2 years before he died, and I wish I did, but I can't do nothing about it now, you know? So.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who was the one artist you wanted to go see before they passed? Because I know we talked about Dimebag Darrell, and I wish I saw him. Do you have any major, you know?
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. I really wish I would have seen Michael Jackson live. That's one of the. Oh, Whitney.
Whitney.
Whitney Houston.
Okay.
I wish I would have seen her perform live. She's probably one of the greatest singers to ever walk the earth.
I think she is literally the best ever made. I mean, you can't ever, because I go on concerts a lot. Right? Well, I used to, and every time I went this with somebody comes on, the whole place sings with her. You know,
yeah,
she's great.
Exactly. I mean, like it's she's incredible.
Yeah, her and Shania Twain. That's the only two people that a lot of people sing with. You know. Man, I feel like
Shania
a woman.
Twain.
Yeah,
I love Shania Twain.
Yeah,
I do. I
great.
Love Shania Twain.
And I did find the genre that I was going to ask about, but I couldn't find it. But I found it now. Shift Energy.
Oh, We Shift Energy.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So that's
yeah, that's the same.
So technically, that's not a genre. That's more like an energy. Okay. My bad. Yeah. So can you explain what it is? Because I've never heard it before.
So we have like a lot of energy on stage.
Yes.
And that's where we feel like, you know what I mean? Like we're like, all right, come on. Cause we like to have fun.
Yes.
So we try to make sure that everybody has a good time. You know, it's a metal show and we try not to take ourselves, like our music is so heavy and so serious, but we try not to take all the songs that serious. That's why we play a lot of the more fun songs. Like we always play GDFO. Yeah, we play GDFO, we play Stress. We try to make sure we lift the energy that's in the room.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the three harder questions for you. You did excellent on the historical figure, Princess and Genius. But let's do like an easier one. If we go to Suzanne's room when you are 14, 15, 16, what posters on her wall would we see musically? Or would there be any posters on your wall when you were a teenager back then?
There wasn't any posters.
Okay. Were there any like movie posters or like what are we looking at?
Animals.
Nice. Yes. I love it. Nice. Yeah. Cool.
Animals.
Yeah.
I love animals.
Dogs. Yeah. Dogs, especially, right. Yeah. They're great. Okay. Second hardest. You got four, okay, so we're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of musicians, okay? Who is your top four? You got four of them. You can pick any four. You can pick bands, artists, you know. Who is your top four ever?
Oh. So I just answered this in an interview.
Okay.
And I put like my, they said top three bands.
Now, I do know
so
that.
I couldn't put individuals. But if you're saying individuals.
Or top bands, you know. I mean, this is your Mount Rushmore television. Yeah.
Now,
remember, when you get off with me, you should have said, I should have said this person or that person. So it's ever-changing, you know?
It is. Yeah. It is ever-changing. And right now, of course, I think Taylor Swift is a genius. She is incredible. I love her music. I love her songs. I feel like they're very real. They feel very real. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the ones I really do love her, and I love to listen. Sometimes I just listen like when we're driving, and I'm just like, wow, this chick is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But Hailstorm, I mean, Lizzie Hale to me, she would be up there.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not Rushmore. So you're saying out of anybody, Prince would be up there.
Prince has to be up there for sure. Yeah.
Out of anybody, and then who else would be up there? I'm trying to think of like,
right.
What I mean, honestly, you know what I listen to a lot is Chopin.
Okay.
When I'm driving, I mean that sounds like crazy, but I do listen to classical music, and it because I you know yeah so Chopin.
Good, yeah, because the first time I was introduced to him was in the movie Tombstone, you know.
Oh, really?
Where Val Kilmer was playing some music, you know, and the guy said, "Who is chopping?" And he said, "Chopin." like dumb hick or something, you know, who knows, but that was the first time. And I really dug his stuff, you know, and that got me into a little bit of like Beethoven and all these other classical pianists, you know. So that's great. That's great.
It's so peaceful.
Yes, very, very peaceful when you're going on the road to think about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Good. I think classical music is a really I don't want to say better genre for ideas, but it gets you more thinking more freely about this and that, you know. Do you agree?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it just, because there are no lyrics, so it leaves it open. Taken on a journey, so you go on your own.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Fantastically said. Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree with you on that one too. Yes. So this is great. Okay. Hardest question ever made on this podcast. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay, don't get too scared. Okay. All right, so is there one artist, album, or song that you can listen to But you can't tell me, Lucifer, your mom, your dad, hell, even your fans, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul.
You mean I can't explain what it makes me feel like?
Yeah, it's so powerful that you can't really express how it makes you feel when you hear that song.
Well, there's one, so what I'm thinking about is there's a song for me, and it's Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but it's that Ismael's version of it. It makes me cry every time I hear it.
Yeah.
And it just brings... And I always think of Rainbow Bridge, so it always brings like this deep sadness. But I can describe it. So yeah. I'm trying to think of a song. What song is there that brings me feelings that I can't describe?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the songs I can always. I'm
right. Like, yeah.
This song
yeah.
makes me happy. This song gets me like pumped up. You know, like one of my hype songs is Maria Brink's
In This Moment.
Even in these change, you can't stop me. I can't think of the name of the song right now, but it's like my favorite one. But anyway,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's
a good question. I don't have a song, I don't think, that brings about something that I can't describe.
Okay, so let me just give you one of my songs and maybe that'll open up your, you know. There was a song by the Dead Dids, if you ever heard it, it's great.
I've heard of them.
Oh, good. Yeah, they're great friends. But they got this one song called Santa Beamed Me Up or Us Up, right? And it reminds me of my uncle Mike that's not with us anymore. But but there's no way in hell I can explain it, how his part of his life meant so much to me, you know.
Aww. Yeah.
So you could tell me like what the song reminds you of, you know. But deep in your soul, there's no way you could explain it.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
It's I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack. Yeah. And it reminds me of my mom. My mom telling me that she hopes that I could find the meaning in that song.
Mm.
So that song for me, I always think about my mom motivating me and just, right. Yeah, it's something that you really can't describe, is that motivating, that lift, right. That safety that you feel with your parents, yeah. And that love that she has where she really only wants me to succeed.
Right.
So yeah, so now I'm teary-eyed just actually.
Oh.
But yeah,
see, that
so I hope you dance by the Leanne Womack.
Yeah, but see, that's what music does, is it inspires you, you know, get you thinking about the good times with, you know, your mom and what Uncle Mike, you know, and I'm cheering up too, you know, but that's what music does. It saves people, you know, and that's why I love you, because you've experienced, you know, depression with and your alcoholism journey, and to get you on the show talking about it, you know, might open up doors for other people to say, okay, well, they've been through this and they got through this, you know,
yep.
You know, and they'll fall in love with music, Magdalen, you know,
yep,
and I think that's a wonderful thing, you know.
Yep, and we just try to be helpful and friendly. And yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so Amethyst is okay. So you only have one album right now, and that's Amethyst.
Yeah, and then we did released a bunch of singles, but we have a new album coming out July 3rd.
It's called Scars.
People Pleaser.
People Pleaser. Yes. Okay. All right. Perfect. So you could go on their Apple Music or Spotify and download their song, their album Amethyst, along with GTFO, Get the Fuck Out, Driver's Name, you know. And then you could go to, I believe it's Magdalen.com.
Yeah, Magdalen.com. We're cleaning it up. It's kind of a mess right now, but yeah, we're
okay. Yeah. So they're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and TikTok, correct?
Yep, we're at all those places.
All right, I still don't understand TikTok, so hopefully you can teach me one day how to use it, you know? But it's Magdalene on Instagram and TikTok and Magdalene.com. And we honestly love you, and thank you for coming. And welcome me back anytime you want to. Come on, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.